Morning. Is the mic working okay? Well, Pastor George asked me a couple months ago if I would be interested in giving the sermon someday. Now, I paused for a few seconds, and I opened my mouth, and a yes came out. The next morning, I woke up, and I realized that I hadn't been dreaming. I actually said yes. And that's when the seeds of doubt began to sprout in my mind. I started thinking about all the great speakers that are up here each week, and their biblical knowledge is just fantastic. And I started thinking about my past and my lack of education after high school. And for those of you who weren't here for my testimony a couple years ago, you probably don't know I'm a recovered drug addict. I threw 17 years of my life down the drain. That's all a part of my long ago past. And then that's when it hit me. I started thinking about Jesus Christ and how he chose a bunch of people to help him with his mission that were not the greatest bunch of characters. So that made me feel a little bit different, and I hope today that I can deliver a message that will help someone out there, and I thank you in advance for letting me speak. In today's message, I want us to realize that God is performing miracles in our lives each and every day. We need to listen carefully to hear him, as he is always speaking to us. And we also want to strive to not overlook every situation and to try and see an overall plan that the Lord has for us. We need to be open to his prompting. There are a lot of examples in the Bible that speak about God talking to us and how we should listen to him. We can look at Job chapter 33, verse 14 through 18. For God does now speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with the warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. We can also look at Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakes me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. We often wonder how our loving God and Father can allow bad things to happen to us. But we can take heart to know that he is in control. God has a great and wonderful plan for our lives. But not just this life, for our life everlasting. We just have to learn to get out of the way. Well, my sermon is a little different than you're used to hearing today. I have a collection of short stories about how God is working in our lives each and every day, even when we think he's not there. I've worked for over 40 years as a printer, and I spent the first day after graduating from high school looking for a job. And back in 1971, there were a lot of jobs available. The second day after graduation, I began working, And I worked 23 years at one company, and then I went on to work at three more companies. I went through all these jobs never having a day of unemployment. Now, what I did was run the same model German printing press at every job I had. It seemed I was stuck in a kind of a rut. When I was working at my last place of employment, I found myself getting bored and frustrated. I actually began to pray that God would take me from that job and give me a whole new type of work. I wanted to do something completely different. Now, that would be a tall order, because all I had ever done was run that same kind of press. I prayed for a long time. I said, "Lord, please take me from this job." Well, one night, I should say morning at 2 a.m., I was abruptly awoken with a stabbing pain in my lower abdomen. I tried to remember what I had for dinner the night before. It was very bad, extreme cramps. It was worse than anything, excuse me, that I could ever remember. I know in a hospital they ask you a pain scale 1 to 10, and I remember this being a 13. I didn't want to wake my wife because she puts in a lot of hours, very hard worker. So I left the bedroom, and I rocked the night away in a rocking chair. Well, when she woke up in the morning, she realized I had a real problem. I persuaded her to let me wait until, excuse me, let me wait until 9 o'clock when my doctor got in his office. And I gave him a call, and he told me to come in right away. Well, he was located in a hospital office complex. And after a short exam, he told me I needed to get down to the emergency room immediately. They scanned my body, and they told me they would be operating at 9 o'clock that night. The operation was not a piece of cake, I was told by the surgeon. I was all messed up inside. And they found a tumor that was floating around by what used to be my appendix. Well, they did the surgery, and they had to leave me partially open pending the lab report on the tumor. 1 month later, they opened me up and removed one-third of my large intestines and some feeder glands. The tumor had been cancerous. So there you have it. I was off work for 2 months. 9 months later, my abdominal mesh ruptured, and I had to have another surgery. I'm off work another month. 1 year later, my abdominal mesh ruptured again, and this time I was off work for 2 months. Remember all the prayers I had prayed about leaving my job? I now had a new health issue, which made me very familiar with the bathroom. And nothing the doctor could do seemed to help. I remember the doctor telling me, "This is as good as it gets." Well, I'm really sure that the Lord was listening to me. It sure wasn't the plan I had in mind, though. But we know that God answers our prayers. If we have faith, He will grant us what we need. Notice I didn't say what we want. He knows what is best for us, as it reads in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. There are so many questions we have in life on a daily basis, and a lot of them never seem to get answered. I am faithfully believing that someday all of our questions will be answered when Jesus Christ returns for us. Around this time of my life, I worked with a man who was also my neighbor. He liked me as a friend, and I honestly have to admit I didn't feel the same way about him. He was still into heavy drug and alcohol abuse, and that was something that I really need to stay far away from. One day when he came into work, he was very upset. He had just found out his wife had been cheating on him with his supposed best friend. I felt God tugging at my heart to go speak with him. So we took a break and went outside. We talked for a long time, and I told him how Jesus Christ loved him and that in time everything would be okay. Well, he let me know that he knew Jesus from his early youth. I really thought that we had made some positive gains in our conversation. I was very shocked when he concluded our talk with one comment. He said, "Don, I don't think Jesus will be where I'm going." Well, I told him he could change that. I could told him he could make a decision to ask Jesus to be his Savior. And he said he would think about it, and that was it. We all went home. The next day, I was on vacation, and my wife and I had planned a little picnic. I got a call from my boss. It seems that our distraught coworker had not shown up for work, and he wasn't answering his phone. My boss asked me, seeing he only lived a block away, would I go and check on him? Well, I felt a cloud of darkness just come over me. I was really stepping out of my comfort zone. So I told my boss, I said, "I'm on vacation, and my wife and I are planning a picnic." Well, he pleaded with me, and my wife also used her gentle persuasion to let me know I needed to check on our friend. So on the way there, I stopped at another neighbor's house who also knew him as a friend, and I asked him to come with me. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew it wouldn't be good. It could be a confrontation or worse. So he agreed. We went to the fellow's house. We knocked on all the doors, and we could see in almost every window in that house, and it sure appeared like there was no one home. So we decided to leave. As we were walking away, something spoke to my head and told me to go to the garage. So I walked up to the garage. I heard a motor running inside. My friend and I immediately broke in the side door, and it felt like 1,000 degrees in that garage. And there was my friend in the truck with the motor running. I grabbed the keys out of the ignition, and I called 911. I put my fingers on his neck, and I thought for sure I felt a pulse. But I was told later the only pulse I felt was my own. Why did God want me to find this fella? Was it to save his wife from going into shock? Was it a sign that God wanted me to know that he prayed and he confessed his sins and perhaps I'll see him in heaven someday? Or was it God's way of telling me that I should have stayed with him all night? Someday I will know the answer, but for now, I will continue to move as God speaks. Do you hear the Lord talking to your heart? Do you surrender to his prompting, or do you dismiss it? It might be very uncomfortable, and sometimes it makes no sense at all. Well, my life had become kind of hard about this time due to my health issues. I also had neck problems and back problems, and my doctor and my boss had both been talking to me about applying for disability. I finally gave in, and I got an experienced lawyer and began the filling out of the paperwork and the whole process. And I had my doctor fill out the forms. I returned them to my lawyer, and my lawyer told me that my doctor had put down too much information, and he suggested having the law firm's nurse edit out the copy. Something told me that they shouldn't do that. So I persuaded him not to. He turned them in as they were. Now, around this time, our company got bought out by a larger competitor, and we were all laid off. And one of the minimum requirements for my disability was to be unemployed for 5 months. 5 months, and one day later, I got a call from my lawyer. He said he was surprised because everyone else gets turned down the first time, but I was approved. He said he didn't quite understand, but because there was no back pay, he would not collect a fee. He told me it was the first time in their history at that law firm they didn't collect a fee for an approval. And what he told me was, "All I can say to you, Don, is that somebody likes you." And I replied, "The Lord likes me. And heaven knows I'm not worthy, but he sees a finished product in me that I just don't see." I remember talking with my doctor around this time after I started the disability, and he told me the type of operation I had comes with a lot of problems. He said it's the only way that they have found how to fix what I had wrong, and that was the way it was. But recently, doing some experimenting with some medications, my doctor and I have had some good results. And this year, for the first time, I was able to put a smile on his face. A lot of things have changed in my life. God can use us in so many ways. I now have had the time to make good friends with several men on disability. I've had the time to help a friend of mine with MS at our old church. We printed the church bulletin and flyers together, and it created a great bond between us, and we helped each other with our spiritual growth. And now that I'm a member here at Wesley, I've had time to help Lori with folding and inserting the bulletin, and that's something I really enjoy doing. I had time to read to another friend on disability some Christian books. Because God put me in this situation, he has given me so many opportunities to spread his word and strengthen my own faith. A couple of years ago, I noticed the storm door was open on my neighbor's house and the porch light was on for 24 hours. Now, I knew the 88-year-old man in this house never put his porch light on, sometimes not even his inside lights. And I knew something was wrong, so I knocked on his door. I looked around as much as I could see inside, and there was no answer. So I called the police, the non-emergency number, and asked them if they could do a wellness check. Well, they came out, and they observed the house and the grounds around it, and after some follow-up work, they got back to me. They told me that a person had been transported from that residence to a hospital. That's all they could tell me. I instantly knew it was Vista East Hospital. I called there, and they confirmed my neighbor was there. I talked with my wife, and we agreed that I needed to go visit him. When I found him in his room, I could see this man was not doing very well at all. He could hardly speak. I was able to make him know that I was his neighbor. And he never talked very much, a very reclusive man. His family never visited him where he lived. But I was able to talk to him. And I asked him if he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. He nodded his head yes and tried to smile. At that very moment, the hospital chaplain walked into the room. After a brief introduction, we all held hands and the chaplain prayed for him. I returned 2 or 3 days in a row and I prayed with him on my own. About the third or fourth day, he passed away. This is not something that I would have done on my own. God was speaking to me again. And of course, my wife with her gentle persuasion. Now, Pastor Georgia told me about a young man that was in a medical facility for drug abuse. He had some real problems. And he told me he was open to have me go and read to him, which I did. People just keep popping up all around me with real problems, new friends. The Lord is speaking to me, but in an inaudible way. A few months ago, I was home one afternoon when an unexpected rainstorm came up with heavy winds, 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. And all of a sudden, I heard a loud crack. Well, we have a lot of trees in our backyard. There's one tree on the edge of our neighbor's yard, and that's it. But I instantly knew to go to the front living room, look out the window, and sure enough, that one tree in the front had a crack all the way up at 15 feet long and about 8 inches wide. As the wind gust blew against it, the tree appeared to be breathing as the 8-inch crack closed and opened back and forth. Well, I knew this was a problem. So I called 911. I'm thinking about now the Winthrop Harbor police are probably getting tired of me. I just hope that if I have another emergency, they don't look at caller ID and say, oh, it's Stickles again, don't answer. But God bless the police. I love them. They've been great. Well, they got a, police told me that they don't deal with trees on private property, but when I told them that it was ready to fall, they were out there within 5 minutes. They blocked off the road, and they called out an emergency tree service. When the tree service came out, they realized the tree was 50% hollow, so they couldn't use their traditional boom trucks to chop from the top or how they go up the ladder. They had to take it somewhere from down below. So I ran next door because the neighbors appeared not to be home, pounded on their doors, and they weren't home. But I was afraid because I knew they had two beautiful dogs inside. Well, we didn't have their phone number, but we did have the phone number of the owner of the house that they were renting from. He was living in Virginia until he retires from the Navy. And I gave the number to the police. They were able to contact him. He contacted the renters. They came home, and they got their dogs out right away. We all stood outside from a safe distance and watched as that tree service laid that tree down perfectly in the road, very safe. Now, if God had not made it known to me that that tree was cracked, it would have fell on who knows what. People could have been killed. God is always working in our lives. We just have to tune in our hearing. I noticed not too long ago in our strip mall behind our house, our Illinois state representative had set up a campaign headquarters. Now, my wife and I know that this particular representative was a Christian, and we both agreed with her platform. I went in one day to get a sign for our yard, and I noticed a lot of retired ladies folding letters and stuffing envelopes and addressing, and that looked like a lot of fun to me because I was a printer. So I asked them if they needed any help, and they gave me a resounding yes. Well, I worked with them every day for a couple months, a few hours a day, and during our conversations, it led me to finding out that they were all Christians, and they all go to the CCC church up here in Zion. Well, I have to say, that was one of my favorite jobs ever. Even though it was just volunteer work, I felt enriched by being a part of their group. They all thought I was a great guy, and they just loved how fast I could work. They gave me the nickname the mailing machine. I felt God prompting me to let them know about my past and my testimony. I wanted them to know that because of Jesus Christ, I'm not the man I used to be. They all listened to my testimony on the internet one day when I wasn't there. The next day when I came into work, one of the volunteers came up to me and she said, "My, how hard that must have been for you to quit a drug habit of 17 years. And that's when it hit me. I remembered that I was never sick. It happened within 24 hours, and it wasn't hard at all. I never want to do drugs again." And I thought about it. Well, doctors will say, I was using cocaine about the last 7 years heavily. Doctors will tell you cocaine is more of a psychological addiction than a physical one. But what about the thousands of Valium barbiturates I was eating constantly to take the edge off the cocaine? I was never sick, not even for one day. And I do not recommend that way of quitting. But only God could have saw me through that. I could go on forever about all the times the Lord has been so good to me. If one message I would like you to take away today, it would be listen to your heart, because God is speaking to you and he is listening to us as well. Do you have things that you're not happy about? Talk to Jesus Christ. Tell him how you feel. He hears you and he will respond. I have one last story, and then we'll wrap this up. I had 10 aunts and 11 uncles on my side of the family. I have one of each left. My aunt was married with 4 children. During their marriage, her husband became very abusive. He had a very unhealthy fascination with guns and explosives. As the children got older, the abuse became worse. My aunt was in fear of her life and the life of her children. He had put guns to her head, burned her with cigarettes. He was out of control. He was an insurance investigator for a living, and somehow he knew how to get away with things of this nature. Well, my aunt worked for a Catholic rectory and was a devout Catholic. She asked the priest there for help and counseling, which they gave them. But my uncle would not change his ways. Eventually, she was able to get a divorce. The priest that she worked for directly became so concerned for the well-being and safety of her and her children that he made a hard decision to leave the priesthood. And eventually, he married my aunt. Now, her ex-husband would not leave them alone, so they moved across country to get away from him. My uncle had taken on the responsibility of caring for my aunt and her children and being the most loving father to them. We don't see each other very much because I don't travel. But now, for the last 2 years, I kept having a dream several times a week. In the dream, God was telling me to let my uncle know that he was pleased with him and the decision he made. I dismissed the dream as long as I could. But then I started waking up with tears in my eyes. I wanted to tell my uncle, but I thought he would think I was some kind of a kook. But I talked with my wife, confided in her, and she said, "I better tell him." So I didn't want to call him on the phone because I thought I might break up, so I just wrote him a letter. I told him what was happening to me, and God was happy that he had chosen to be a different type of father. Why was God so persistent with this dream? Maybe my uncle had a feeling of guilt in the back of his head for leaving the priesthood. I don't know. But my uncle did write back to me, and he told me that he felt blessed that God had used me to speak to him and that he would never forget it. My aunt and uncle now have a beautiful life together, and they attend a real Bible-based church. Is God speaking to you? Are you missing it? It may not be comfortable, but I'm not so sure that God wants us to be too comfortable. Is there someone that he has put on your heart, a neighbor, a coworker, someone that you need to talk to? Have you been avoiding the situation? On a regular basis, we worship our Savior, we come to church, we show our love and concern for our church family. But I ask this question. When we leave and we drive out of here on Lewis Avenue, are we forgetting something? I know I often am. Are we leaving the church here, or are we taking it with us? We need to be the church. As you talk to these people that are on your hearts, you talk to them, tell them about your spiritual life, about Jesus Christ. What do you think would be the worst thing that they could say to you? I think it would be, "Wow, I never knew you were a Christian." Well, today in my stories, you may have noticed a recurring theme. I have a secret weapon. It was no mistake that God brought my wife, Doris, and I together. For I have a wife that is constantly pushing me to do things I don't want to do. And I thank you, honey, and I thank you, Jesus, for that. Once again, I'm asking you to listen to those who are encouraging you, and most of all, listen to God. You may be pleasantly surprised how he will work in your life. Amen.